This is Dr. Alan Hamilton, the author of The Scalpel and Soul, and you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus, one of the great programs in my mind that is offering innovation in this century.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio with our guest, Dr. George Yu, M.D., and he is my urologist, and he has taken me, well, I've really had quite an interesting experience with him, growing and developing and overcoming some serious problems. And I thank you for that, Dr. Yu.
You're welcome.
As a matter of fact, you should go to www.totallyyou.com. TotallyYou is YU.com, linked on the front page of 21stCenturyRadio.com, or call his office at Annapolis 410-897-0540. Dr. Yu, what happens at menopause?
Well, every man would know about it.
Yes.
It actually happens to men too. However, it is not as abrupt and obvious. So men also lose their hormones just as women. In menopause, well known, one of the first symptoms that occur when the ovaries are no longer physiologically functional is that the women will have hot flashes. The sequence of events is that first, and they become what we call estrogen dominance, where there's no more progesterone. One of the most common symptoms that I see, and it was even in 1999 when I was first exposed to this, when I gave the women what they wanted was estradiol and progesterone, many of them would tell me that they have finally gotten a good night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
To my surprise, it was quite impressive. Many of these women would go to sleep, wake up 2 hours later, go to sleep, wake up 2 hours later, basically deprived of sleep. And today we know that sleep is very, very important, and that the body goes into a stress mode when this doesn't happen. So the hot flashes, the sleep, the mood fluctuations, just like in PMS, is basically an extension. Some people feel that the PMS symptoms are very close to menopausal symptoms in that they are still, at this point, estradiol, estrogen dominant, and without much progesterone to calm things down. So what we call it is mood fluctuations, mm-hmm. ups and downs. And the long-term sequence of events, oftentimes they will have urinary symptoms. I saw a number of cases when I was actively doing surgery for women in which they would come in with, you know, frequent urination. You hear it on the you see it on the television, unstable bladder. And much of this is related to the lack of hormones in their bodies. The tissues become dry. Their libido is gone. They have very dry, sometimes eyes, mouth, and vaginal areas. Each person's a little bit different. The long-term effects is, of course, osteoporosis. And they, of course, women also secrete testosterone from their ovaries, and little by little that goes away, their sense of strength, muscle atrophy, loss of muscle, in exchange for what we call, you know, fatty tissues. Their figure is no longer an hourglass, but perhaps the shape more like a pear.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything else you'd like to mention regarding the issue of women having trouble sleeping in relationship to sex hormones?
I'll tell you something, Bob. This is probably the most impressive experience I've had that, you know, so many women, if you look on, in the past, the Oprah Winfrey Show, they had one session which I was very impressed by, and I rarely watch those, but one of my patients asked me to watch it. It was a nationwide caller interview in which they looked at women and who could sleep and who couldn't sleep. And by God, you know, this is so common in women, and it's so easily corrected by the right balance of progesterone to estradiol that I can't help but say to women who cannot sleep, and they, you know, they don't always have to take sleep medications. If they just look at their hormone levels, and it's easily done now. You know, you could get your venous baseline blood levels from LabCorp, Quest. You can get it from a portable blood sampling from a finger stick, and you can do it on your own. You can find out very quickly whether this would help you. And it's very clear that the progesterone has a, in layman's words, a quieting effect on the brain. It has a lot to do with what we call the GABA, the receptors, which I won't go into today. But I think that for the common person, it's important to understand that without progesterone, the women will have trouble sleeping. Mm-hmm. The counterpart, of course, in men is also true, but in a slightly different format.
Well, what's the relationship of sex hormones and thyroid functions?
You see, what I'll start one thing. People think that sex hormones only for reproduction. It really isn't. And I found out just from watching what happened to those castrated men developed diabetes, for the women, thyroid problems. It's very interesting that when you have menopause or when you have a high estradiol estrogen dominance over the progesterone production, the thyroid does not function as well, even though they may be in the normal ranges from blood tests. Oftentimes, we will see a pituitary signaling called a TSH start rising, not in the clinically overt type of cases, in which the TSH is maybe 10 to 15, but we would see it like rising up to 4, 4.5, 5, and they have all the symptoms. And it's interesting that it happens when there's high estrogens. Women have more thyroid problems than men, especially the hypothyroid version, and it's related to the effect of the estradiol estrogens on the thyroid functioning. We see the clinical symptoms, cold body, cold temperature, cold extremities, hair thinning, hair loss, fatigue, weight gain. On physical examination, we see the kind of a doughy, dry, scaly skin. The physical examination oftentimes will reveal a look very, very common in those women, which is really myxedema. As a matter of fact, I think sometimes I hear it in the voice of a hypothyroid patient, and it's a raspy voice, and when we correct it, it becomes normal.
Oh.
Does that mean that they become hypothyroid forever? No. But we do see the association, and we can correct it simply as a first stage by balancing the progesterone.
Mm-hmm. Well, what can our listeners do to investigate their own hormones? You touched on this a little earlier.
Right. You know, the world is changing rapidly, and we have accessibility to so much. The web, of course, has tons of information, some good, some not so good. And that's why we have doctors to help navigate this picture. The most important thing is the evolution of blood testing. We can test blood, the venous system, the way everybody does. We have saliva testing, which actually looks at the active hormone inside the organ or the target tissue. We can look at urine sampling, the 24-hour urine or the spot urine test, and all of them reflect a snapshot of a long movie. And so the first thing the person has to do is, how am I feeling? Do I have some of these symptoms, Dr. Yu, just talking about? Number two is, okay, I need to get the blood testing. Sometimes the doctors, their family practitioners would know what to order, but it is complicated. You have to look at the pituitary hormones, the thyroid hormones, the IGF-1 indication of the growth hormone. You also have to get vitamin D, which is another hormone. It is a misnomer to say it's a vitamin. It is a hormone, just as much as cortisol and estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. By the way, I didn't mention this, Bob, but the adrenal gland is one of the biggest problems that we have today. It is no longer a world of hunter-gatherers, but high stress, no time, and pressure, and no sleep. Mm-hmm. And so the adrenal gland comes in, plays a part with the thyroid. But what you can do is get a simple finger stick from CRT.com, CRT.com, very reputable lab. I went to visit it just to check it out. But people from all over the world can order it. They get a kit, and they specify what they want, and they can go over it with their doctors. And 2 weeks later, it's online for them to see it.
Wow.
It's so easy, that in the future, it will become more commonplace.
So that's CRT.com.
If you want to do it on your own, or your doctor uses it, or for some reason, the economics is such that, it's definitely cheaper than getting the blood test from Quest or LabCorp or from the hospitals. You have to remember that most of these labs don't do these tests as commonly. So they subcontract it out to a special area, and therefore they have to charge more.
I see.
So it makes it easier if you use a lab that specializes on steroid hormones and other hormones.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you recommend for further reading about this?
There are several nice books. There's a lot, actually, but some of the books that I like a very practical book is What Your Doctors May Not Have Told You About Menopause by Dr. John Lee. And it's packed with information, and it gives you an education that is really worthwhile. We in our practice insist that they read that as a baseline so we can converse, in a reasonable way. Mm-hmm. For the men, for andropause, which is basically androlag, it's a little slower, we recommend Eugene Shippen's book, The Testosterone Syndrome, and the book Testosterone for Life by Morgan Taylor. And they're all good books. They tell different aspects, but once you have an overview, you have a more sophisticated view than looking at the TV commercials of taking Testim or Androgel and, getting your life back together. It isn't that. It's definitely not anti-aging. You have to remember one thing about hormones. Too little is bad. Too much is dangerous.
Was there anything you wanted to add about the industry control on hormone replacement therapy and the politics involved?
Wow, that's a big question. All I could say is that in 2002, the Women's Health Initiative study was probably one of the best studies I've ever seen and designed. The conclusion was that people using horse-derived urine estrogen hormones, which is Aqualin, Estrone, and some estradiol, and the use of synthetic progesterone, which is Provera. Premarin was the horse-derived estrogen, and the progesterone synthetic form was Provera. That combination was not good. It was over 100% leg clots, as we have seen in the past with the synthetic hormones for birth control pills. And there was increase in cardiovascular disease, breast cancer. And so the study was supposed to go on for 8 years. It stopped at 5 years because it was conclusive that this became a problem. But at the end, the authors were quite good, and they knew that this was only one formulation, and that they mentioned in the last part of the investigation, their paper, that this is only applies to these two hormones, and it may not apply to transdermal hormones, which may be closer to human hormones. And so that was an important landmark, because most doctors stopped using hormones altogether on their patients and felt that this would cause cancer, cardiovascular disease, and clots. But in fact, there's plenty of literature both worldwide and especially from Europe, and it's interestingly enough, the socialized countries, that, you know, that the hormone from human identical hormones, exactly like what your body makes, didn't cause all that. One of the most important issues is that estradiol, estrogen, does protect the brain from Alzheimer's disease. Oh. That's a subject I won't go into, but it's a huge one. And there's been well over 30 years of both basic science, clinical science, to show that there's validity in the protection of estradiol on the hippocampal area. But the outcome was everybody stopped using it, and all the women had to start using sleep medicines, antidepressant medications, bone medicines in place of that. I'm a great believer that you use what God made for you, the human identical forms. And I have seen from my surgical career that I've seen the results of that. Now, some of this, of course, is economics. You know, why should a company, push a human identical one? You can't patent those things. But you can patent the horse hormone and any synthetic hormones, and therefore it gives a company an incentive to produce it and spend a huge number of dollars to do the research. Mm-hmm. There isn't, but interestingly enough, I've been doing this for well over 15 years, and there's plenty of data, not as dramatic as some of the most expensive studies like the Women's Health Initiative, to show that the human forms in its proper balance is good for women's health. Mm-hmm. I won't go into more of the politics, but there is politics, there is economics involved, and I believe that for the welfare of the human being involved, that we begin to educate ourselves on this.
Most important to do so. And right now, it's most important to give our final break here on 21st Century Radio with our guest, Dr. George Yu, MD, Sex Hormones, Aging, and Health. And when we return, we're going to talk about men's sex hormones. Of course, you can get in contact with his office at 410-897-0540, 410-897-0540.